Don't you love to give honor to mothers, godly mothers? You know, I can think of my own life when just growing up with the mother that the Lord had given me. I was adopted, and so the Lord had given me the pleasure and the honor of getting to know my mom before she had passed away some years ago. And so I can think of I have so many good memories of my mother growing up, and so today my heart is full of thoughts of my mom. So there's been a team meeting just so that you know, there's been a team behind the scenes getting together for the last few months to think of ways to make today special for you moms. And now Mother's Day is here. It's here, and we appreciate the energy put into preparing for this particular day. I'm thankful for the opportunity to open up God's Word. Again, Pastor Rod isn't here today, otherwise it would have been him ministering the Word of God to your souls this morning. Before I open up the text of Scripture that we're going to be looking at, I want to preface some things before I begin. And first, I want to just start off by saying this. We know that today can be difficult. It can be hard for a number of reasons. Perhaps for you moms, you had grown up and you had an extraordinarily difficult childhood. We know that. Perhaps you no longer have a relationship with your mother for whatever reason. Perhaps your mother recently passed away, or you lost a child. Perhaps you even want to be a mom, and for whatever reason, the Lord has not yet allowed that to happen in your life. We understand that today is hard, and part of our prayer leading up to this service includes weeping with those who weep. And we are praying for you mothers, because perhaps it's just a difficult day, mixed with a kaleidoscope of emotions for you. Number two, even though our primary emphasis is on mothers today, this doesn't negate the application of the Word of God for the rest of us, right? My goal will be also to apply the Word of God to your hearts too. If you're not a mother, we're not saying or suggesting in any way that you are less of a person or even a woman from one who is. We know that the Lord works out his plan in each of our lives in different ways, and all of us can certainly drink deeply from the well that is God's Word that is so far-reaching, even to those of a different demographic. We understand how powerful the Word of God is in terms of applying his Word to each individual life in this room. Third, I know it's possible to load mothers with guilt over what they are not, to, in essence, use Mother's Day as a means to help moms be what they should be. We know that mothers often sense their inadequacy. From how do I comfort my child who seems as though they cannot be comforted, to how do I know when I need to instruct my child, when I need to discipline them, to how do I maintain a good relationship now that they are adults and they're making decisions on their own, when some of those decisions may not be particularly wise decisions. We understand that. In fact, there might be some things presented here in today's sermon that the Lord will use to challenge or even to convict some of you who are here today. And so, moms, we want today to be an illustration to give honor to whom honor is due, custom to whom custom is due, or focusing on the things that are right, or as the title of our message suggests, we want to praise the Lord for godly moms. We want to praise the Lord for godly moms. And with that in mind, please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. If you don't have a Bible, there's one under your seat, and that would be on page 669. 669 of the front section of the Bible under the chair in front of you. Perhaps you're not aware of this, but you know, Proverbs isn't just a collection of wisdom sayings, but it's actually a life story of one person. You know, Proverbs opens with a series of speeches from a set of parents to their son. And the son seems to be the main character, the parents' wisdom personified by a woman. And then you have foolishness, which is also personified by a woman, offer this son's advice. They give this son wisdom. And at the end of Proverbs 9, we wonder who the son will listen to. Who will the son listen to? Whose words will the son value? Whose wisdom will the son reflect? Whose advice is this son going to take? Will the son go the direction of listening to the warnings and the wisdom displayed by his mother? Or will the son listen to foolishness of his own heart, not taking account, taking heed to the mother's wisdom? Go this route. Son, be careful, please. This is not a wise decision that you're making, because this will alter the course of your life. And then in chapters 10 through 30, it provides a lot of wisdom and instruction on what to do in various situations, but also explains the consequences of following foolishness. And as you read, you just can't help but ask, but what about the son? What path is this son going to take? What will the son display? Who is he following? And then Proverbs ends with this amazing description of an excellent wife. And it almost seems like she embodies wisdom itself, and perhaps this is what the son received. And all the blessings that came with it, because he took heed to the wisdom of the mother. Perhaps he is the husband that we will read about who has married wisdom personified in this woman and is experiencing all the blessings of making that wise and right choice, as opposed to making the foolish choice of not heeding the wisdom of his mother. And then having said that, well, let's go ahead and turn to Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. But for context, my primary emphasis is going to be looking at verses 26 through 30. Please allow me to follow along as I read the scripture text. This is the word of God. Proverbs 31. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field, she buys it from her earnings, she plants a vineyard, she girds herself with strength and makes her arm strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hand grasps the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hand to the needy. Verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household. For her, all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Wow. That's a mother. That's a mother. That is a godly mother. You know, as one of your pastors, I know that this text could be written about some of you moms. And we're celebrating and praising the Lord for that this morning. So moms, wives, ladies, today we're going to praise the Lord and tell you some of the things that we so love about you. Praise the Lord for a mom who fears the Lord. Praise the Lord for a mom who fears the Lord. Notice what this particular text says in verse 30. It says, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, I'm looking at verse 30 because it will explain how the rest of this chapter unfolds. Moms, wives, ladies, we certainly praise the Lord as you fear Him. We rejoice as you know the things that matter and the things that are of lesser value. We love those whose true character is apparent. You know, if you focus in on that aspect of charm, the Bible says that charm is deceitful. That's a really interesting claim. According to the Lord, charm can give the wrong impression about who a person really is. Notice that I didn't say that charm gives a bad impression, right? A charming person normally gives a good impression. The problem is that charm hides true character or what is in a person's heart. God says that charm gets in the way because it puts up a false front. It hides wickedness inside. So ladies, thank you for allowing who you are, what you value, and what you are like when others are not watching, be how you think and function. Thank you. We praise the Lord as we watch you live out a Christ-like character. As you know, we also love those whose greatest beauty is on the inside. Whose greatest beauty is on the inside. You know, the Bible tells us on occasion that a person was attractive. For instance, Abraham's wife is said to have been beautiful, attractive, as was Rachel. Jacob's son, Joseph, the Bible also describes him as an attractive person. But the thing that you need to understand is that wisdom understands that a physically attractive person is not necessarily a godly person. That's the idea of the word vain. The word vain, it's used in the Old Testament for several different ideas, but the NIV translates the word it as fleeting, fleeting. Physical beauty is not sustainable over the long term. Look, we get that, right? We know that. But the other idea conveyed in the King James Version and the NAS is that beauty is worthless. It's worthless. That is to say, it does not have real value because the attractiveness of the person on the outside is not necessarily a reflection of their beauty on the inside. A beautiful woman is not necessarily a godly wife, mother, or a woman. So moms, ladies, we praise the Lord for you. We praise the Lord when you understand that and invest in spiritual things. We love those who fear of the Lord makes her wise and trustworthy. The fear of the Lord forms really the foundation of Proverbs' worldview. If you look at verse 7 of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is what? Is the beginning of knowledge. That's where it all begins. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Notice that there are two types of people that are described here. There's that person who fears God. He will acquire wisdom. She will acquire wisdom. Or those who don't fear God are called fools. They shun wisdom. Though here you have the wise man, and then you have the fool. The wise person does this. The fool does this. And so defining just what the fear of the Lord is, however, you know, that can be really a tricky proposition. Some have made the mistake by defining the fear of the Lord the way a prisoner cowers before guards about to torture him. These folks have made God out to be some sort of cosmic ogre looking to crush people or rain on their parade. Others have erred on the other side by simply calling the fear of the Lord a respect of God that suggests that you take his counsel into consideration. But a genuine and right fear of the Lord results in a mom whose focus on the word makes her wise and trustworthy by controlling her actions. There it is. So moms, we so appreciate it when you allow the word of God to keep you from sinning. To keep you from sinning. You know, there's a passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verses 6 through 9. We find that the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, appoints both priests and judges in the land. Before they take their respective office, he tells them to consider what you are doing. Consider what you are doing. For you do not judge for man before the Lord. That's how serious it is. You're judging for the Lord who is with you when you render judgment. Now then, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Be very careful what you do. For the Lord our God will have no part in unrighteousness or partiality or taking of a bribe in Jerusalem. Also, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites and priests and some of the heads of the fathers' households of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and to judge disputes among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And then he charged them, saying, thus you shall do what? In the fear of the Lord, faithfully and wholeheartedly. End quote. And so here you have the Bible tells us that judges and priests might be tempted to play favorites. That's in all of our hearts, really, right? They might be inclined to rule in favor of their friends or a person or against a person they see as a foe or perhaps in favor of a person who offers them benefits. You know, but consequently, they would violate the truth of God's word. And the fear of the Lord protected them from these errors. The fear of the Lord controlled their actions. That's what the fear of the Lord does. Notice the other passage in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. And by what? The fear of the Lord, one keeps away from what? From evil. Yes. Evil, you know, we've lived long enough to realize that evil comes in all shapes and sizes, right? Immorality, drunkenness, wild living, profanity, lying, seeking revenge. Ad infinitum, gossip, all fall under the category of evil. And the fear of the Lord keeps us from participating in these things. And so, moms, thank you for allowing a proper fear of the Lord to keep you from those things. To keep you from those things. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, makes the statement even stronger. It says, the fear of the Lord is what? Is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, an evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate. And here you have this passage. It almost gives the hint that the fear of the Lord is thinking corresponding to the thinking of God. It loves the things that God loves, and it hates the things that God hates. And we understand that when a mom fears the Lord properly, her will is surrendered to the Lord, and his word controls her very actions, her behavior. We watch you as you serve in church today behind the scenes. That was a mother serving today, again, we see you. We see how you bless your husbands. We see how you care for your children. And so we're thankful for the privilege and the opportunity to pastor moms who genuinely live like this. You know, this mom is also wise and trustworthy because she is training herself and she controls her thinking. She controls her thinking. You know, we find a number of spiritual guards and guardrails, really, in Proverbs. But ultimately, Proverbs reminds us that the fear of the Lord, it doesn't just keep us from doing evil, it helps us not to want to do evil. In other words, it reaches to our very motivation for doing things. So don't let your heart envy sinners, right? But live in the fear of the Lord always, always, always live in the fear of the Lord. You know, it is possible to envy. It is possible to envy somebody who has more than you do, or whose life is perhaps going a bit better than your life is. It's easy to envy those things, especially if the person that you're watching or beholding or you're looking at an unregenerate world and they have so much and godly mother seems to just have so little. It's very easy to envy. Very easy. It's possible to attempt to achieve those same things by whatever means necessary. You know, with Proverbs 15, 16, you know, it brings us back around to Proverbs 31, verse 30, where it teaches us, it teaches moms, and broadly speaking, us, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. Do you see that? Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. The book of Proverbs begins with a discussion of the fear of the Lord. It has points along in the middle, and that is where it ends. The fear of the Lord is just absolutely critical. Moms, wives, ladies, we praise the Lord for you. When you value the fear of the Lord over putting up a false front or a belief that your identity is found in your physical beauty. It's got to go deeper than that. You know that already. We rejoice when you avoid evil because the fear of the Lord controls your actions. We rejoice when your fear of the Lord allows you to think carefully and critically, even when there is a conflict involving your own children. When you see your son or your daughter making a decision and you're concerned about that and you say the wisdom of your heart's reflection to that person, you are exemplifying the fear of the Lord in simply just speaking words of wisdom, what is good, and then heeds of warning to your son or to your daughter, please don't go in this direction. We love you, but we have to tell you because this mother is saying, I love you so much that I have to tell you this son. I have to tell you this daughter. Don't go in this direction. Don't go in this direction. Go in this direction. There's blessing in this direction. There's blessing here. Don't go here. Stay this way. Don't go this way. We rejoice when you take the side of a sibling, a teacher, a friend, even against your own child because your eyes look at situations through Scripture with a proper fear of the Lord rather than through fake rose-colored glasses. We are rejoicing on Mother's Day over those who live this out. We see, we pastors, you know, we appreciate you and we certainly see you. We see what you do behind the scenes. Or even in public. And so for those of you in the middle, you know, you're perhaps you're changing diapers, you have brand new babies, I can smell the diapers right now. For those of you in the middle of changing diapers, making meals endlessly, cleaning messes and doing it all for the Lord Jesus, you're building the next generation of church leaders. You saw those videos, right? You saw those videos. You saw what those children were saying about their moms. That son of yours, you know, mothers, that son of yours just might be a leader in the church someday. That daughter of yours might just be used by God to accomplish great things someday. And I would just love to broaden my application for just a moment because we know today is about moms, right? More specifically, about praising the Lord for all the things that are right about moms. But sometimes the Lord uses just one message to accomplish many things. And so, moms, maybe what I have described here is totally new to you. You came today because it was a special day, but this whole concept of the fear of the Lord, perhaps this thing may be new to you, really. And maybe the Lord wanted you here today because he wanted you to learn something about who he is. Well, the Lord created this world, and he created human beings. And from the beginning, he wanted a close relationship with people, with his creation. However, we chose to rebel against his commands. The first sin of Adam and Eve has been replicated billions and billions of times over and over again in our lives. And the Bible says that all of us are sinners. We are violators of God's law. And perhaps you have not learned that before, but maybe you have not heard that you are a sinner in God's eyes, and your sin is so serious that he created hell as a punishment. And as Bible-believing church, we believe that there is a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned, and we want you to know that. You know, sin is so serious that he sent his son, God sent his son to die on the cross for sinners. And perhaps today will be a special day because you learn that by repenting and trusting in Christ as your personal Savior, you can have a right relationship with the Lord, with, and you will have a heavenly Father. You know, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this. It's very simple. Perhaps you don't know, you don't yet know the Lord, and perhaps the Lord is using this message for today to just tug at your heart a bit. Romans 10, 9 and 10. The power is in the Word of God. It says this, if you confess, this is all you got to do. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For why? For with the heart a person believes, there it is, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. It is that simple. It is a free offer of the gospel for you today, for you. Maybe there are some moms who are not letting the fear of the Lord control neither your actions or your thinking. Perhaps your life has been hidden. Perhaps your life has a history, perhaps, of drunkenness, profanity, gossip, or immorality, perhaps. Perhaps you've been unfaithful. And fearing the Lord is perhaps it's just not very motivating, right? Perhaps God's word is not really exciting to you. In fact, maybe a good haircut, a manicure, a pedicure is far better than devotions or church services, a ladies' Bible study, or a ladies' friendship group. Today is an opportunity, I believe, for you to change, and it all begins with, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe that God is raised from the dead, you will be saved. It all begins there, bowing the knee to your Lord Jesus Christ. Today is an opportunity for you to change. You know it. You know deep down that something is not right in your soul. You know it. And perhaps a simple answer is you know what you need to do. You know. You are either Lord of your life or you surrender to the lordship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that is Jesus Christ. And you got, in other words, you got to give up the rule of your life. You got to give it up. You got to give it up. You must repent. You know the ways that you need to change. Perhaps some of you would benefit from meeting with another lady, for mentoring here at this church, for counseling, to discuss your situation specifically, privately. And the same could be said for the rest of us. You know, perhaps part of our takeaway really today is praising the Lord for the moms in our lives who genuinely fear the Lord. And the other part is that we need to change because we're not equally allowing the fear of the Lord to control our thoughts or control our actions. Yes? Moms, according to Proverbs 31:30, making a difference in your family will not come from your charm, we know that's fleeting, or your beauty, even if you're blessed with both. Even if you're blessed with both. It will come from an honest desire to properly fear the Lord. Which brings us to a second characteristic found in Proverbs 31. It will come from an honest desire to be more like your Lord. Praise the Lord for a mom whose speech is full of wisdom, full of kindness. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She's just so kind. She's full of wisdom. It just pours out of her to her kids, to her sons, daughters, her husband. She's just so wise. Don't you just love the sound of those two words together, wisdom and kindness, right? Moms, thank you for the way that you're allowing the Lord to control your tongue so that wisdom and kindness just come out of you. You know, in the grand story of Proverbs, the parents, they teach the sons that there are two general paths in life. There's the path of wisdom and the path of foolishness. From Proverbs chapter 1, the son is encouraged to follow the path of wisdom because it brings certain benefits. It brings certain benefits because wisdom offers safety and security. Moms, your children, and I don't mean just the little ones, they need wisdom from you. Can I say it again? Moms, not just the little ones. You had a difficult day this morning, perhaps, right? Your children need your wisdom. They need it so badly. You know, sons, you know, they can be stubborn, right? Daughters, they can be stubborn. We need you to speak into your children. We need you to speak into their children. Wisdom offers safety and security. Wisdom consistently offers safety and security. Just please don't stop speaking into the hearts of your children. When you share the truth of God's word, you're giving your children, really, what you're doing is you're giving them a slice of blessing. You're giving them a slice of heaven. That's what you're giving them. When you open your mouth and you speak wisdom and you don't keep your mouth shut, you let it out and you give them wisdom, you're giving them heaven. You're giving them heaven. When you're not there, those words will protect them. When you see them walking in wisdom, that is what you've given to them. They're applying the wisdom that you gave them. They're walking in wisdom. They're being protected by the wisdom that you gave them. Even when you're not there. Proverbs 1, the offer was to take advantage of the other, of other people. It's an easier way to make money, right? You can go ahead and steal. Proverbs 1 offers the advantage of wisdom, but it also gives you the opposite. You could make money the hard way, or you can be a fool and be a thief, right? You instructed your children with the words of life. The mother instructs wisdom to the son or daughter to work hard with his or her hands. In Proverbs 5, immorality offers pleasure. And your words served as a hedge to protect them from all the damage that immorality does. Laziness calls out and offers rest and relaxation. And you sharing the word of the Lord tells them that hard work, what? It brings a blessing. Greed tells them that they will be happy only if they acquire all the right toys. The word of God tells them differently. And so thank you for offering to your husbands, to your children, and to others in our church family, wisdom, which brings safety and security. Thank you, mothers. You're a blessing. You really are. Because kindness builds relationships. The way that we use language either draws people to us or pushes people away from us, right? We can take a rather sharp rebuke done in a kind way easier than a light rebuke done with meanness. It's much easier to reject the rebuke, even if the person is right, if they deliver it in a mean way. So moms, once again, you know, you're pretty cool, right? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for using language with us that encourage us to listen to you. Thank you. Thank you for offering positive and encouraging words when they are appropriate. Thank you for offering your rebukes with kindness. Rejoice and praise the Lord that you not only have the ability to do this, but also even the willingness to say something. We husbands have benefited from your kind words even when they had to bite them, right? We children benefit from words that encourage us and teaching that comes through kindness. You know, there's a third characteristic that we're going to see in the text is found in verse 27. Praise the Lord for a mom who cares for the home. Praise the Lord for a mom who cares for the home. It says in verse 27 that she looks well to the ways of her house. And she's not an idle person. It doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Thank you, moms, for being an integral part of what takes place in the home. What takes place in the home. I know the unregenerate world just steps all over moms. My goodness. I'm not limiting the discussion to various domestic duties. Many moms do many things to care for the home. We're thankful for the ways that you make our various houses homes, and we praise the Lord for your diligence. You work so hard. And rather than sit around and do nothing, you're active, you're busy, you're accomplishing so many things that need to happen. I'm also talking about something so much more. I'm talking about sharing insights with your husband and determining together the best plan of action. What do we do here? What do we do there? You act as though you're one with your husband as opposed to being separate, wanting a separate life for yourself. You want it with your husband, one with your husband. Let's do this together. Let's do that together. Life changes as it does. We must adjust. You make adjustments for that, and we thank you for noticing the changes and wanting to make those adjustments to honor the Lord. I'm talking about a team effort in raising your children. And or perhaps you're planning to have children someday for you ladies, and you want to be moms. And there are some decisions that you as the parent need to make considering what is happening in the life of your child at that given time, and when in that season of life, whatever it may be. Thank you for caring and for being on it, really, to ensure that we steward our opportunities well. Thank you. Moms and wives, we know that you do so lot of things. And we know that you add meaningful value to our home at every stage of our lives. We know that you are so in tune to what is happening and the direction that we are going. Thank you. Thank you that you care so much. Thank you that you invest so much of your time, your strength, your energy to blessing even those around you. Thank you that you look well to the ways, again, of your house, and that you actively take steps to making it honoring to the Lord. And finally, our last characteristic is praise your wife and your mom for what they do is right. For what they do is right. Her children rise up. Look at this. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. You excel them all. Look, I realize that it is not a characteristic of, you might not have all the characteristics, but you're growing in those things little by little. I get that. You know, we read the response of a husband and children to a wife and a mom who lives in verses 10 through 31. And all through this passage, we have been praising the Lord for the wives and mothers around us who exhibit these qualities and are growing in those qualities. It is who they are and how they function. And these verses say something else about moms. They have a great reputation with their children. They have a great reputation with their husbands. And even unbelieving children appreciate godly moms. You know, that doesn't mean that they like or agree with everything that they did, but I mean they value her love for them. They value her love for them, the way that she cared for their dad, the commitment to make the house a home, the work ethic that resulted in blessing and the safety and security provided by her words. And so our role then is not just praising God, but turning our voice to our moms, wives, who live like this. Her children bless her. And so children, kids, today is a good day to remind your mom of how much you appreciate them. How much you appreciate them. Give them a hug. You know, there comes a day when you no longer will have that opportunity because your mothers will Lord willing, go home to be with the Lord, and they're gone, and those opportunities will be gone. And so moms like to hear how much they value their children. Her husband praises her, saying, you are so good to me. Thank you. You are the best of the best. Man, it's easy to take our moms and even our wives for granted, okay? It's easy to take for granted those things, our wives, our mothers. They serve us in so many ways that we are so used to and that we fail to see it. To say that she has done nobly is not limited to her actions, but includes who she is, really. I mean, how she loves and cares and prays and encourages each member of her family to live for Christ, right? She does nobly by finding her identity in Christ. She finds nobly by growing spiritually. She's growing and growing, and she wants you to come with her along into the celestial city of grace, wants her carry her kids into the celestial city of grace. Husbands, how are you doing with that, right? I'm speaking to my heart as well. Believe me. I'm speaking to my heart as well when I say this. How are we doing with that? How are we creating an environment where our own wife and even our mother is honored? I mean, ask them about the ways that you could honor her privately and in front of our children, and then be ready for those kinds of answers. You might hear something like, please recognize and express appreciation for the things that I do. Laundry, cooking, cleaning, perhaps even working to make the place nice for all of you. Please show I'm important by the way that you schedule your time. Please come home ready to hear about my day and to tell me about your day and how things are going. And if you're going to be late, please call me so that I can make an adjustment. Schedule a date with me so that I do not have to do any of the work, including childcare. Please just listen to me. So hear my fears, hear my concerns, hear my joys. Do not just ask me for facts. Please help with the children. Not just when I'm at the store, but when I'm home as well. Let's just do some of those things together. So in closing, let me just do some review. Guys, honor your godly wife. Make sure that your children do the same thing. You need to make sure that she is a significant part of the family team, not just what are we having for dinner. Every significant decision should have her sign off. All of us, honor your mothers. If you had or have a mom that is like the one in this passage, then tell her. I know that she would appreciate it. We know that she would appreciate it. Ladies, this text is really challenging for you as well. It tells you that the fear of the Lord should characterize your life. It is more important than charm. It's more important than beauty. It is a control on your thoughts, and it's a control on your behavior. Your speech should be characterized by truth found in the scripture and spoken with kindness, and it reminds you that you are a significant part of the family unit. And so please do your best to do it well in the power of Christ, who is our King. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this day. Oh God, I pray, Lord, that we would never, never negate the importance of moms, the importance of wives, Lord. There, you created them and designed them to reflect ultimately you, Lord. Help us to honor them. Help us husbands to love them and appreciate everything they do, and never take them for granted. Moms and wives. And at the end, Lord, may you receive every glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.